I'd like to remain standing tonight for the reading of the Word of God, please. And I'm not quite so nimble with my fingers tonight, so I wanted to find my place in my notebook where my notes are before I got up here. But you can turn in your Bibles tonight to John's Gospel, the Gospel of John, and if you would, chapter number 15. Chapter number 13. John's Gospel and chapter number 13 for tonight, okay? John's Gospel and chapter number 13. And I want to begin reading in verse 1, and I want to close with reading in verse number 1 of John 13. The Lord speaking to His disciples is here, and it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." What a statement. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. That's a strong love. That's a strong cord of love. For a man to love us unto the end. That's a long time, by the way. Let's look to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight because You first loved us. I pray that You'll bless us and help us. Give us grace and liberty tonight. Touch every heart and speak to Your people. Strengthen the faith of each and every one. Help the sick. Help those that are afflicted. I do pray tonight, Lord, for revival in the church. I pray for Your divine help, Lord, on the month ahead of us and all that's going on with our Christmas fellowships and so forth, and the building and getting the roofing on. And I ask You, Lord, to help us with that. Gracious with Your divine presence tonight now. Fill Your preacher with unction and power and help me to preach with wisdom, grace, and great glory in my heart. Be a blessing to Your people. And we'll thank You, Lord, for the souls that are saved and the lives that are changed. For we ask it in Jesus' name. For His sake we pray. Amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Now, dear Uncle Sam put me on a new medicine, and it kind of drives my mouth out, so I hope you'll bear with me on that tonight, and maybe I'll get used to it after a little while. But I want to preach to us tonight out of this verse, and it's a wonderful verse in the Bible. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. But before that, it simply says that when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should go and depart out of this world and be with the Father. At that part, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Now, I want to preach on that verse for a little while tonight. If God will help me a few things out of it, and try to be a blessing to you. When you begin chapter number 13 and verse number 1 of John's Gospel, it's kind of like a gate. And beyond that gate, it leads to the last 24 hours of our Lord's life here upon this earth in His earthly ministry. And it begins with His humility in washing the disciples' feet here in chapter 13. And what humility it took for God in flesh to kneel at the feet of the creatures, humble Himself, and wash their feet, leaving them an example that they should follow. By the way, I do not believe that foot washing is a church ordinance, but I do believe that it points to the humility of the heart. And not only that, it goes beyond that. It goes to the fact that we're to do for one another and try to be a blessing and a help for one another. The Lord said, what I've done for you, do one to another. And so it was a very humbling experience for our Lord there in that upper room. But it goes on. It goes on in this gate that's been opened here in this verse, not only to the humility in the upper room, but it goes to the agony at Gethsemane. Our Lord there in His intercessory prayer for you and I, the Bible said He prayed as it was great drops of blood that ran down His face. What agony He must have been in as He was preparing to take your sins and my sins upon His own body. And bear them upon the tree that we might be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Amen. And so we see Him in the final verses here in the agony in Gethsemane. And then we see him in Pilate's judgment hall. We see him being judged, innocent man, found guilty. We see him being scourged by those that took the cat of nine tails and beat him beyond his recognition. His visage was so marred that no other man like him had ever been that way before. And yet in all that, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And then finally, after the scourging, we see the shame and we see the misery of our Lord upon the cross. And even there on the cross, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, and the verse in itself is a very rich verse. I see some things in it that I've never seen before. And it's full of grace and mercy and full of real truth. It really, really shows us the depths of the love of Christ that he has for his people. I think it's an impossibility for you and I to really fathom the depths of the love of God. How that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. With great love. What great love he has for you and I. Knowing what we were before he ever died for us. Knowing what we would do after we were saved, he still died for us. Knowing what our nature is, he still died for us. Knowing what these disciples would do later on in their life, and yet he loved them unto the end. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, briefly, I want to say a few things about this, and I'll not be long tonight. I don't think I've got the strength to be real long. But I do want to cover what I have here. First of all, I want to mention the fact of our Lord's associates. That is, those that our Lord found fellowship with in the days of his earthly ministry. The Bible calls them his own, having loved his own, which were in the world. That's a wonderful thought there, if you can get a hold of it. Having loved his own, which were in the world. Now, there was a number of people. Always around our Lord. There was Pharisees around him. There was publicans that followed him. And there were sinners that followed him. Many followed him for a free handout and a free meal. But those true disciples of his followed him because they loved him. There were many in his immediate circle. But there was some that was in a closer circle than that. There were some godly women that followed with those disciples. And there were some special people. Many knew them and many despised them. But our Lord loved them. And he called them his own. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, I'm not talking about the multitudes. Our Lord loved the multitudes. But he had a special love for those that he had redeemed by the grace of God. I don't think anybody could dispute that there's a great love that God has for those of us that belong to him. He loves sinners. He loves all sinners. But we're a special people, a peculiar people. We're his redeemed. And he loves us with a great and a mighty love. And you know, we'd recognize that. I believe it'd put a little rejoicing in our heart just to know and get a hold of the fact that he does love us. It's not that Christ hates the world. He loved the world. He loved the world. For God so loved the world and gave himself for it. That's a fact. But I'm going to tell you, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto, even unto the end. And so those associates, but why are they called his own? Why are they called his own? Having loved his own. I want to try to answer that question here in the next few minutes. Why are they called his own? May I say number one is because, now don't throw a rock at me. Don't hit me with an egg. Don't cut me off. But they're his own for simply because he chose them. Now I know a lot of people get frustrated when you're talking about the fact that Jesus chose those that are saved. But it's an absolute fact. In fact, I've got a verse of scripture here in John 15:16. Or the Lord himself says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. It's what the Word of God says. And what a blessing that is. You know, if he had not have chosen us, there'd nobody have been saved. But Christ really chose to save sinners before the foundation of the world. And he made his way into this world through a virgin's womb, walked up Calvary's hill and laid his life down by the grace of God. No sinner, if it hadn't have been for Christ coming into this world, no sinner would have ever been saved. Are you listening to me? Amen. He had to come and die for sinners. And none would have ever been saved had he not first come and with cords of kindness draw them unto himself, that he might give them, show them mercy and give them birth into the family of God. The sinner would no sinner would ever choose God. He loved them first that they might love him. You sinners are bent on sin. All right, that's the nature of a man that's lost and a woman that's lost is the sin. And they love their sin more than they love God. That's why many of them will never be saved, because they're not willing to turn loose of their sin. But even in their sin, he loved them. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And coming into the world, he chose us unto salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but that does something in my heart to know that I was doing my best to get away from God. I was running from the Word of God. I didn't want nothing to do with the house of God. But he came looking for me. And on that Sunday morning, by the grace of God, like that little lost sheep in Luke 15, he found me. And that when he did, there was rejoicing in heaven over that one little lost sheep that had repented. I'm glad, thank God, that he chose me. He chose me. And that's why I'm his own, because he reached down and chose me and saved me by his marvelous grace. And then he espoused them unto himself. That is, he made us his bride. For the Bible said that we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Listen to what Malachi says in Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, the Lord said, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. They shall be mine. In that day when I make up my jewels. Can you get a hold of that tonight? We are a jewel in the crown of Almighty God. I don't know how that affects you, but boy, that stirs up my heart to know that God is making up his jewels and I'm one of them. I don't know what jewel I am. I may be a diamond. I may be an emerald. I may be a sapphire. I may be some other stone, some other jewel. But in that day when he makes up his jewels, we're going to be his own. Then also we'll be a spouse to him. And then we're his own because the Father gave us to him. We were given unto the Father. The Lord himself said, in John 17:6, said, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou hast gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now that's why they were given to the Lord, because they had kept his word. And the Father gave them to him. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 2 and verse 8, the Father himself said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. I'll give thee the heathen. I'm glad that you and I are Christ's inheritance. Boy, I'm telling you, if we can ever get a hold of that, that we are his by inheritance. We belong to the Father as creatures, but we were given to him as children of God. Amen. We are his inheritance. I'm going to tell you, I believe he'd come out on the losing end of the stick. I don't know about you. Right. And I think when he got me, he'd come out on the short end of the stick. Amen. He didn't get much, but I believe I got a whole lot. Yes, amen. I'm not much of an inheritance, but I believe I got more than what he got. Amen. And I'm grateful in my soul tonight that our Lord loved us so much that he chose us and came to where we were when we could not get to him, locked up in prison cell. And yet he unlocked the prison door and set us free by the grace of God. And he chose us. He didn't have to. He could have let you and I rot in this world and die and go to hell. He could have walked. He didn't have to pass by our way. He could have passed by somebody else's way. But like I said this morning on that Sunday morning, I don't know why he came to me when there was a church full of people there. He could have passed by any one of them that he wanted to. But he came to me. When I could not get to him, he came to me. There's nothing in me that merits salvation. There's not one thing. He loves you and he loves me just because he loves us. He loved those disciples just because he loved them. They did not absolutely do one thing that merited his love or merited salvation, but he loved them and saved them just simply because he loved them. I've challenged people all of my life to try to explain to me what love really is. And I don't believe anybody can. I don't believe anybody can. We love people just simply because we love them. Like I told you about my wife, when I saw her, I said, she's mine. And I'm telling you, from the very beginning, I loved her. Amen. Somebody said, why did you love her? That ain't none of your business. But I loved her just because I loved her. That's a fact. And God loves you just because he loves you. And not that we merited any of his love whatsoever. But we ought to rejoice over that tonight. The day that you got saved, the night that you got saved, how many lost sinners do you think were sitting around you? How many people that was around you were dying and going to hell? And yet Christ came to where you are. Now he's got that authority, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I'm going to tell you why he has. Some of you are already drawn up and pulling away. But I'm going to tell you why he's got that authority. Because he knows what is in the heart of man. He doesn't have any problem knowing what is in the heart of every man. In fact, it says somewhere here in the Word of God that he knew what men would do because he knows what is in the heart of man. And he does. He knew your heart and my heart. Amen. And when he saw us in our sad state of a fallen nature, he loved us enough to come to where we was and by his marvelous grace lifted us up out of sin and saved us. Amen. That's right. I'm glad that he loved us. And he loved us because the Father gave us to him. We belong to God as creatures, but he gave us to Jesus as sons. And what a blessing that really is. Now, he loved his own because you yielded yourself to him. See, you thought I was going to preach Calvinism on you, didn't you? But you had to yield yourself to him. You'd have never belonged to him had you never yielded unto him. I don't know how many has rejected, but I'll guarantee you there's been scores and thousands that Christ has come to, and they have rejected his love. They've shunned his grace. They didn't want anything to do with his mercy. They didn't want anything to do with him, and so they're lost. But you and I, when he came to us, we yielded. That love overwhelmed us, and that grace overcame us and broke our heart because of our sin. It was his love that helped reveal to you and I the fact that we were sinners and ought to be in hell tonight. And it was that love that lifted us out of the miry clay, out of that horrible pit. It was that mercy that he showed to you and I. Amen. And we became his own because we yielded unto him. Now, there's an argument over that about, you know, particular redemption and all this and all that. I'll say this and leave it at that. When he saved me, there was a time. When he saved me, I did not want to say no to him. That Sunday morning when he came to where I was, I could have said no. But I'm going to tell you, my heart was in such a condition, I didn't want to say no. And I'm going to tell you why. That preacher had painted such a wonderful picture. I saw for the first time in my heart the Son of God in his sinless perfection. The Creator that created me, condescending to human nature, to humanity. Them dying on Calvary in my place. I saw his sufferings. I saw his agony. I saw his pain. I saw his shame that he had to suffer. And when he came to where I was and invited me to come with him, to be his, I said yes. I yielded to him. I yielded to his conviction. Amen. I yielded to his to His love and His mercy and said yes. And when I did, He granted me repentance and the faith, and I believed and was born again into the family of God. Now somebody said, could you have said no? Oh yes, I could have said no. But I really believe on that Sunday morning, as much as God had dealt with me, and looking back, He had dealt with me for a long time. And I really believe if I'd have said no that morning, I'd have died and went to hell without God and without hope. Now I'm telling you something, church, that's why it's important when Jesus passes by. Brother, if He passes by one time, we better do business with Him when He passes by. He may never pass by your way again. Are you listening to what I'm... He isn't there. He doesn't have to. Nobody twisted His arm to come to you the first time. He ever comes by you, you better say yay and not nay, because He may never pass by your way ever again.
Amen. That's right.
That rich young ruler that went away because he had great possessions. The Lord was very sorrowful when the Lord told him to go sell all he had and come take up his cross and follow Him. And he went away very sorrowful. But the Bible said about the Lord said, oh, how He loved him. The Lord loved that young man. But I don't find anywhere in the Bible where the Lord ever passed by His way on a second time.
Right.
Amen. That's right. And I could tell you about others. What about Herod? John the Baptist preached to old Herod and saw many great things and believed that he was a holy man. But he would not yield to the preaching of the Word of God. Don't tell me that Herod did not believe that Christ was who he said he was. He knew John, who John was, and that he was a holy man of God. And he believed the preaching that John did. But he would not believe the gospel. You'll never convince me that he did not reject the love of God. Now I'm telling you, that man is in hell today, and he'll spend all the time and eternity in hell. But for those of us that are His own, we're going to enjoy the eternal bliss of heaven for all time and all eternity. We'll be rejoicing while the ages roll. We'll be with Him in glory for all eternity. And I won't say amen, hallelujah. I'm glad by the grace of God that I got my ticket punched and I'm ready to go, and the trumpet may sound tonight, and it wouldn't hurt my feelings if it did. I'm ready to go. Amen. You know, I used to say I want to go, but not on this load. If He wants me on this load, I'm ready to get on it.
Yes, sir.
Right. You ever had to stand and wait on a bus? Or wait on a train? Or wait on an airplane? You have to say amen to this. When it finally got time for you to board that thing, you were happy the time had come.
Right.
You didn't want to wait for the next bus. Now I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is so wonderful. He's so glorious. He's so precious and so loving.
Yes, sir.
That when time comes, ladies and gentlemen, you won't want to wait on the next load. Amen. No, you'll be ready to get on the load that's pulling out right then.
That's right.
To go to be with Him who owns us. Having loved His own. We belong to Him. We're bought with a price.
Yes,
we're not our own. He paid our sin debt. That's why we belong to Him. We're His own because His Father paid for us in full. Amen.
Amen.
Just like that man on the road went from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And that good Samaritan walked by and saw him in that ditch. A priest and a Levite passed him on by. But that good Samaritan went down in that ditch where he was at. Got him, poured in oil and wine and bound up his wound and loaded him on his own beast and carried him down to the inn. And told the innkeeper, said, if I owe thee aught, said, when I return, said, I'll pay thee. And I'm going to tell you, he never returned, and he never paid that innkeeper another dime. You know why? He had paid for it in full. Now I'm going to tell you, he's paid our debt in full. A debt that we could not pay. We couldn't have paid it in a million lifetimes. We're sinners by nature and sinners by choice. And if He had not have chosen you and I, we'd have died in our sins and went to hell. But I'm glad, thank God, that He chose us, that He delivered us, that He bought us. We're His own tonight. Amen. We're His own. And having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. I'm going to tell you, make a statement. Why would He tell us tonight that He loved those disciples unto the end and would not love you and I in the same manner? Oh, yes, He loved you and I in the same way. Having loved His own, which are now in the world, He will love us unto the very end. Bless His wonderful name. You better believe He will. Hallelujah. Thank God. He's not going to stop loving us. What can separate us from the love of Christ? I won't say nothing. Tribulation can't, famine can't, persecution can't. There's not one thing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not one thing. And no, He's not going to stop loving you and I at all. He loves us because we yielded ourselves to Him. And then there's no greater joy than to know that you belong to Christ. We sang that song, "Now I belong to Jesus." And Jesus belongs to me. There wouldn't be any greater joy in our heart than to know that we belong to Him. We're His property. Because that's right. And it's private property. And He's put a sign up to the devil, "No trespassing." He's put a sign up to sin, "No trespassing." Are you listening to what I'm saying? He's got a sign up. We're His. Private property. Keep all. Trespassers will be shot. That's right. He's got us protected. We're under His watch care. You wouldn't let somebody break in your house and then harm your children if you could stop it, would you now? You wouldn't let somebody out on the street take one of your children and harm them? No, you'd stop them. You think the Lord's any different than that? You think He's less capable of taking care of His own than what we are of taking care of our own? No, no. Having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And I'll tell you something right now. You will love your children unto the end. They may not always do what you want them to do. They may not always live like you want them to live. They may not always be as right as you want them to be. But I'll guarantee you one thing, you'll never stop loving them. And I'll tell you why. They are flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone. They're out of your loins and you'll always love them. And in loving them, you're going to always protect them. That's the same with Christ. Amen. We've been birthed into the family of God through the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And we belong to Him. And I'll guarantee you He'll keep us until the end. That's right. And there's no greater joy than to know that we belong to Jesus. You know, your children's got a great admiration for you, you men and women. If you've never noticed that, I hope you have. Ain't it something when you walk, when one of them little ones walks up and looks you in the face and says, "Daddy? Daddy, can I have this?" Or, "Mommy, can I have this?" Doesn't that do something for you? For your children to ask you something? Don't you know what makes God, how it makes Jesus feel as His child when we get on our knees in prayer and look at Him and say, "Jesus, can I have this such and such?" I'm going to tell you, He'll withhold nothing from you and I. It'll be for our good and His glory. But let us not be selfish. Let us seek those things which will help conform us to His image. Let us seek those things that will make us spiritual men and women. Let us ask of those things that will help us to increase our faith, to believe Him for greater things. Let us ask those things that will make our homes happy, that will give us grace in our hearts and lives to live here in this life and hate sin and hate evil and love good, love our fellow man. Oh, yes. Let's do those things. That's right. And I'll tell you, it'll make Him so proud. He loves us. Having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And there's no greater joy to know that you belong to Jesus. Amen. And then Christ is a fountain of innumerable blessings to your and my heart. And then we're His own because He conquered us. He conquered us. He called us by His grace. He drew us with cords of love. And His love had conquered our rebellion. Oh, yes, we were rebels. We were rebels. You remember Moses when he went to the rock and the Lord told him, said, "You go up on that rock and smite that rock and water will come out and I'll give you water to drink." And that's what he did. But the second time they wanted water, he told Moses, said, "You go speak to that rock." And rather than speak to that rock, Moses went up and he looked at the people. And the Bible said that he called them rebels. He said, "You rebels," and he smote that rock. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible is going to say that he spoke unadvisably with his lips. But I'm going to tell you something. God didn't stop loving him. God didn't stop loving him. God went right on loving him. Amen. Because he was his own. Now, and he called us by his grace. His power conquered our rebellious ways. Then I want us to look at our Lord's affections. How it is that he begins with us. The Bible says that we're poor. And not only poor, but we're inconsiderable, but he loves us. We're poor and needy and unworthy, and yet Christ loved us. Loved his own. Which were, that's right. We don't consider, we don't deserve what we got. Amen. We're poor and needy, but he thanketh upon you. That's what the Bible says. I'm poor and needy, yet he thanketh upon me. Can you imagine that when he was on the cross, that you was on his mind? Even the cross could not divide, separate his love from us. All the pain and the agony of Calvary did not for one minute diminish the love that Christ had for you and I. He went right on loving us. Amen. What affection, what love, what great love he has for you and I tonight. And then his love was wrought upon their hearts, made them obedient to his call. They just couldn't get over that love. I don't know about it. Love is just something that overwhelms people. It really does. And his love overwhelmed their heart and conquered their heart when they realized how much he loved them and what they were, who they were. It just, he conquered them. And then having loved them, he went on teaching them. Though they were dull scholars, he kept on loving them. Now, you know, that's amazing. You go back and start looking at some of the disciples. The way the Lord taught them through the 3.5 years of his earthly ministry. And some of them, I don't believe, ever got a hold of that great love that he had for them. He went on, he began teaching them, and though they were quick to forget and slow to remember, yet he never grew tired of trying to train them. And I let me just go over a few of them. I think I got a few of them written here on the next page if I can find it. He loved them even though their natures were so imperfect. He loved them. Peter was impulsive in his actions and denied the Lord, and the Lord loved him. And then John. Everybody talks about John. John had a terrible temper. You ever not ever read about John and how in one place and he wanted to call down fire out of heaven and consume those Samaritans? Oh, what a temper. He said, Lord, would you have us to call down fire out of heaven and consume them? But I'm going to tell you, even in their imperfections, in their imperfect natures, he went on loving them and went on teaching them. He never got tired of teaching them. I'm going to tell you, sometimes as preachers, we kind of grow in pretty impatient. Try to teach people the Word of God, and it just seems like that the more you try, the less they understand, or don't want to understand, or won't listen, or they get dull of hearing, and they close their ear to the truth. But even when they did this, the Lord never grew tired of doing his best to teach them. He kept right on because they were his own. And having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And unto the end he kept right on teaching them and training them. Amen. And trying to rear them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And he never grew weary in doing it. Some of you that thinks when you fail that the Lord is disappointed in you. I want to say to you tonight, Jesus cannot be disappointed.
Amen.
Now that got some of you, didn't it? You're not going to disappoint him. He knew what you were before he saved you. So knowing all things about you, how can you disappoint him?
Amen.
When he knew what you would be and what you would do in life, and yet he loved you, how can you disappoint him? He's not disappointed. He just keeps on keeping on. And when we fail, he doesn't throw the clay away. I'm glad when we fail, he does not throw the clay away, but he just picks up the clay and starts all over again.
Amen.
Making that vessel that is meet for the master's use. He doesn't throw that clay away, no. Then after 3 years, Philip failed to even recognize him as a father. Did the Lord get upset or angry? No. He kept on teaching. He said, Philip, have I been with you this long? And still you haven't known me? Very gentle, very loving, very caring. He didn't get upset. He didn't get angry. Not one time with his own. Not one time. He could have flew hot on Philip. He could have flew hot on John. He rebuked John, but he did it in love. He never rebuked him in anger. And Peter, now look at Peter. How he denied the Lord three times around the fire. Then he went off fishing and led others off fishing with him when he should have been serving God. And the Lord never one time became and grew impatient. He just kept on teaching. See, having loved his own, he started teaching his own. Amen. And he's still teaching us today through the Word of God and through the Holy Ghost. He's teaching us today how to live and how to live for him and how to love him. He saw their future and knew they would soon become cowardly and faithless, and yet he loved them unto the end. The Bible said that all of ye shall be offended of me in this night. And they were. When they died on the cross, when they took him away that night, they all were offended, the Bible said. And as sheep without a shepherd, they were all scattered abroad. But you think that the Lord stopped loving them then? No, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I mean, they were everyone offended in him, and he knew that they would be. When he started loving them and saved them, he knew down the road there would come a day when he would go to the cross and every one of them would be offended to the point that they would flee from him and not even want to be associated with him. But he still kept on loving them. Still kept on loving them. And then I want to say one more thing and I'll be done. Our Lord's ascension. When Jesus knew, the Bible said, that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. What a change was getting ready to take place. Now listen very carefully. What a change was getting ready to take place. When he made this statement in John 13, he knew that he had to die. He knew that he was on his way to Calvary. And he knew that he had to die. Now listen, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. If we had to bear all that Christ had to suffer, it would no doubt engross all of our thoughts. If we had to suffer the beating that he did, the rejection, the pain of Calvary, our mind would be engrossed with what we're suffering in life. Say amen to that. I've got to be honest. You can ask my wife for the last 4 months about everything that we think and talk about. It's got to do with our home getting back in order. It has just about controlled our mind and our thoughts and our thought pattern of our life. It's when we're going to get settled back down and have closure on this thing in our home. In fact, it's almost engrossed all of our thoughts. Well, what if we were in the suffering like he was? What if it was you and I that were being rejected? What if you and I have been crowned with a crown of thorns? What if you and I were beaten with a cat of nine tails? What would we be thinking about? I'm going to tell you what. What if you and I were nailed to the cross? What would we be thinking about? I'm going to tell you what. Thinking about our own selfish life. But not him. Not him. Although he was suffering such great pain and agony, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Even the pain and the agony of the judgment hall and the cross and Gethsemane, not one time did he ever stop thinking about his own. Not one time. What a Savior we have. Amen. He was about to depart from his disciples. What a change. You've been with him for 3.5 years. You know, there's a saying. You've heard people say it. You've said it yourself. That absence makes the heart grow fonder. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, the Lord is getting ready to ascend back to heaven. And he's ready to depart from his disciples. And there were galaxies. There were going to be not just apart for a little bit of space, but there were to be galaxies, millions of millions of light years away is where Jesus was going. Separated that far. But yet, absence. Absence. For a lot of men, when that river rolls at our feet and we die our death, many men that said they loved us will soon forget all about us. You better get a hold of what I'm telling you. Men are soon to forget and fail to love. They just forget that love, but not the Lord. When the Lord died, the waters were rolled at His feet and He ascended back to the right hand of the Father, He kept right on loving you and I. Millions of light years away from us, and yet He still loves us. There is nothing that can separate us, not even time. That's right. Not even the distance can really separate us from that love of God. Now, what would be His disciples' condition after in the world after He left? Well, they were temporarily in the world. I said this morning, I want to say it again. Because the church is nothing but a traveling tent in this world and in an evil world and just waiting to be folded up and carried to heaven. And that's all we are. Just waiting to be folded up and carried right on into heaven. That's our condition in this world. But having loved His own, He loved them unto them. But we're just here temporarily. We're persecuted, and yet He loves us. We're tempted, and yet He loves us. We're afflicted, and yet He loves us. He just goes on loving us. Jesus never ceased to love His own who were in this world. Having loved His own that were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Let's stand together.